On this edition of WBOI's Field Notes, Victoria Jacobson starts us off with all things sectionals, from football pairings to outcomes in soccer, volleyball, and tennis. I'll close with notes on the Comets, the Colts, and more. That's all next on Field Notes. Thank you for joining us this week. I'm Zach Bernard, and Victoria Jacobson is here to help us get started as well. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks so much for having me.
Championship season is heating up in the IHSAA. Sectional pairings for football were announced over the weekend. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, so we have six different classes. Again, reminder for those who forget, it is a completely random draw. Everybody makes the postseason, which means that you can get some really interesting rematches. You can get some really random pairings. So let's just kind of go through this 6A down to 1A real fast. So in class 6A, Carroll is going to open at Elkhart, and then Snyder will be at Northrop. So if you thought that that game a couple weeks ago at Spooler was going to be the final one at Spooler between Snyder and Northrop, nope, we're getting one more before Snyder's own stadium opens next year. And so that'll be kind of interesting to see that rivalry revisited. And then we have Homestead is hosting Hamilton Southeastern. In 5A, we have Warsaw Community, and that's supposed to be at Concord, but the Minutemen are currently undergoing construction. Their new football facility will be finished next summer, so they're kind of road warriors right now. That game will actually be played at Penn on October 31st. Everything else is normal, just the location will be at a third location. And then Northside will be at Goshen. In 4A, we have one of the toughest sectionals around in 4A. We have New Haven at East Noble. We have Columbia City at DeKalb. DeKalb has kind of emerged as maybe the second best team in the NEA. That's something we're going to find out this weekend. And then we have Bishop Dwenger at Leo. So that's going to be a really interesting first round matchup between one of the strongest teams in the SAC and traditionally one of the strongest teams in the NEA. In 3A, we have Bishop Lohrs. They went all the way to the state finals last year. The Knights will be opening at Delta, and then we also have Concordia Lutheran will be at East Noble, Garrett at Fairfield, and Woodland at Lakeland. Those teams aren't all in the same sectional. They're just all in 3A. In 2A, we have the defending state 2A champion in our midst. That's Adams Central. The Flying Jets will be hosting Central Noble. It's been a really tough year for the Central Noble Cougars. So they will be making a little visit to the landing strip over there at Adams Central. Another really interesting game, Bluffton, which is, you know, second in the ACAC, at Churubusco, which is the NECC small school champion. So that should be a really, really interesting matchup in 2A. And then finally in 1A, as we kind of hit the highlights here, it's been a pretty good year for South Adams. They're in kind of that situation where they've beaten all of the teams that are a little bit down, and then they haven't been able to get over the hump against the top of the ACAC this year. But the Starfires are going to be hosting Madison Grant, which also has a fairly impressive record this year. So that could be a really interesting game in 1A in week one of sectional play.
We still have one more week of the regular season to go before we get to that point. So what are some games we should keep an eye on?
So even though the conference championships are more or less sewed up, if everything goes according to chalk this weekend, I personally will be going to see Bishop Lohrs versus Carroll. Again, probably won't have conference implications or anything like that, but this will be my first time seeing Bishop Lohrs. Again, they seem to have kind of righted the ship a little bit during the season and should be a really dangerous team in the 3A playoffs. And then Carroll just knocked off Northrop and so are kind of running into shape as they get ready for the 6A state tournament. And then my coworker Dylan will be at DeKalb versus Leo. That is really interesting because I think a lot of people had penciled in Leo as maybe the second best team in the NEA behind East Noble, but maybe that team's actually DeKalb. You know, it started off the season with a, looking back at it now, kind of confusing loss to Angola. And then early in conference play, had a really, really tight game against East Noble, only lost on a pretty much last second touchdown by the Knights. Now these two teams are basically going to duke it out for second in the NEA this year. So yeah, we get to see if maybe we've underestimated DeKalb for most of this season.
Sectionals wrapped up for girls soccer, and Northrop took home the title with a fairly dramatic win over Leo.
Yes. So the Northrop Bruins had a 2-0 lead in the first half and even had a chance to go up 3-0 in the first half on a penalty kick in the last minute of the first half. But that penalty kick was saved by the Leo goalie. And then in the second half, things were just all over the place. With 19 minutes left to go in regulation, we had a Leo PK that was good. A couple minutes later, we get this kind of like just massive shot from the outside from Villa Tefuentes, who put Northrop back up by 2-3-1. And then in the closing minutes of the game, we have another Leo PK, which is good. But that's where the scoring ended. Finished with a 3-2 win for Northrop over Leo. Really big moment for the Northrop girls. This was their second sectional title in 3 years.
Volleyball sectionals began earlier this week, and one school in our region broke a drought with their win in their first match.
Mm-hmm. There were only 2 sectional volleyball matches in our area on the first day of sectionals on Tuesday, but one of them turned out to be a really, really interesting match. Garrett winning 3-1 over Leo after Leo had won the first set. Just the Railroaders got it together and just kind of pulled away there. And this is really notable because they had won 20 matches during the regular season, but there was still a lot of doubt. You know, they don't play quite the schedule that many of the teams in our area do because they play in the NECC, which is such a large conference, which means they don't get a chance to play against many of their sectional opponents like Concordia, like Bishop Dwenger, like Leo, who they defeated on Tuesday. It's a really, really, really tough sectional. I've just mentioned Bishop Dwenger and Concordia. Those are year in and year out two of the best teams in the SAC. Over the past couple years, Angola has been almost impossible to get by. The Hornets were in the Class 3A state finals last year, made it all the way there. So it's really hard to pick up a win in that sectional, and Garrett hadn't done it since 2020. But with this win on Tuesday, they will be going through to the sectional semifinals where they will face Concordia early Saturday.
And boys tennis semi-states took place over the weekend. What did we see there?
Yes, so we had both Carroll and Homestead playing at semi-states this past weekend. Now, it's a little bit confusing. The Homestead semi-state hosts 2 different matches and both winners go through instead of, you know, having semifinals and then playing each other in the finals. So there were 2 different champions. Homestead pulled out the win over Delta. It was a 3-2 match that went down to 3 singles. So it was pretty dramatic. And then on the opposite courts, Carroll fell to Penn 4-1. It was a pretty close match. 2 of those matches went into third sets. But that means that Homestead will be moving on to the state finals while Carroll's season comes to an end.
Victoria Jacobson is covering seemingly every angle of high school sports for the Fort Wayne Journal-Gazette, and thank you as always for being here.
Thanks so much for having me.
Well, it's finally here. Fort Wayne Comets opening night is tomorrow. Due to ice repairs that are ongoing, they're going to be on the road for the first 5 weeks of the campaign. Fans willing to travel to see the team won't have to go far for opening night. They're facing the Indy Fuel with face-off at 7 on Friday. The first home game is slated for November 21st against Bloomington. The Indianapolis Colts improved to a stunning 5-1 on the year after a win Sunday over the Arizona Cardinals, but unlike many of their victories, it did not come easily. The Cardinals had something to prove after an embarrassing finish against the Titans a week prior and came out strong against the Colts at Lucas Oil Stadium. Still, our team came out victorious by a 31-27 margin. They'll head out west to take on another AFC contender, the 4-2 Los Angeles Chargers. Kickoff from SoFi will be at 4:05 Sunday. Your Indiana Hoosiers are number 3 nationally after a gigantic road win over Oregon over the weekend. Number 3! What an amazing time to be an IU football fan. They're back home for the first time since their last big win over Illinois on September 20th. Kickoff against Michigan State will be at 3:30 on Saturday. Meanwhile, Notre Dame continues to surge back into the higher national rankings after another dominant win last week, this time a 36-7 finish over North Carolina State. They've jumped from 23 to 13 over the last 3 weeks, seem to have made up for their rocky start to the year in the eyes of voters. They've got their third home game in a row Saturday, a big-time rivalry matchup against number 20 USC Saturday at 7:30. The Irish have not fared well against ranked opponents this year, but it has been over a month since they've taken one on, so we'll see how it goes. The WNBA season has come to an end with the Vegas Aces pulling off a sweep against the Phoenix Mercury late last week. Asia Wilson and Becky Hammond continue their dominance that reminds me of those Kobe and Shaq Laker teams from a couple decades ago. I'm just happy to see Jewel Lloyd hoist the championship trophy for the third time in her career. Who knows when we'll see another WNBA game? Collective bargaining negotiations begin with the offseason. It's always been assumed that player pay issues are going to take center stage and potentially create a standoff with the league in a way that impacts the 2026 regular season. It's one of the reasons the Fever went all in on roster construction last year. Ultimately, only time will tell, but those players are not seeing the revenues that the league has been taking in for the last half decade, and I hope that can be corrected in time for next season. And a reminder that the NBA season begins Tuesday. The Pacers will open their campaign next Thursday against the Oklahoma City Thunder. Baseball playoffs carry on, even though they beat my Cubs. I'm still rooting for the Brewers because I like Milwaukee and supporting Midwest teams. Not off to a good start there, though. The Dodgers took the first two in Wisconsin, and that series moves to Los Angeles with Game 3 later today. We've got a series now on the AL side after the Blue Jays took Game 3 over the Mariners in Seattle Wednesday. I love both of these teams, so I'll be fine if this one goes 6 or 7 games. Game 4 is also later today. That's all for Field Notes this week. Field Notes comes out every Thursday. We'll see you next week. I'm Zach Bernard.
Music for Field Notes is produced by Jack Ankenbrook. You can support this podcast anytime at wboi.org/donate. You and I are listening to WBOI.